By the way, those, that whatever Garvone is on the board there, WBC, there I go. I know reports are going to get back. Quit dumping out for a lousy minute or so before the bye, y'all. It's the traditional end of the show. I know I shouldn't be telling them don't fuck with the top of the hour when they're giving me free airtime week after week after week. But, you know, it's also the best show on the fucking station. So, you know, don't screw with a minute's worth of it. Yes, sir. Yeah. You wanted to say something? Yeah. Now, I'm seeing, you know, this is the first night where I've gotten on the air and rambled about something I believe is relatively important because Barack Obama got involved in the discussion of going into Pakistan, where I've really taken the time to consider the downside, which has long been in the back of my mind, and I've long ignored them. So great is my anger and animus towards these people.
What you have to do is, if you're going to go into that country, you better be prepared to nuke it before the where their stockpile is, just in case the government does fall.
Nuking an ally?
No, you have to be prepared. So you're going to do it or plan it, but because if your ally falls and someone else comes in, you got to be able to prevent anything dire from happening.
Yeah, there's no downside there. Let's go ahead and bomb the whole country and bomb.
No.
Bomb away. No. The result, of course, would be that we'd be bombing away. By the way, Michael. By the way, what's that?
He asked nicely.
It doesn't matter.
Okay.
It just doesn't matter. You're talking about millions of people dying. Don't bother. I'll just kill it over here. No, what line am I supposed to hang up on? You know, you should put that up there so I could do this, okay? And then I can do that. I'm sorry. No. You know, when you piss me off to the point where I say no, go away, go the fuck away. Yes, sir.
No, I was saying that you have to be able to get rid of that stockpile. I'm saying bomb the whole country. Mm-hmm. You got to know where they're stockpiled. You got to know where their military bases are. You got to be ready to go to those bases and disarm them, if not necessarily blow them up. You have to be ready in case what you do backfires and that government collapses.
Yes.
All right? So, I mean, that's the only way you could do it. And that scares the shit out of you. You know, if you forget one nuclear stockpile, you know, or one's planted somewhere else that you don't know about, it could backfire even worse.
It's not a good situation.
No,
I mean, you know, week after week, you know, I'm saying, you know, long past time to say, you know, adios to Iraq. And, yeah, I'd love to send some of those troops into the ungovernable region, but you can't do it without the tacit approval of Musharraf. And he's not going to do that because, of course, that takes away – I mean, he's already in a position where his regime is ever shaky. And if he was to approve of us going in and sit back – well, I'm not going to do nothing, the possibility of his regime being overthrown – is significantly increased. And once that happens, the possibility of nuclear weapons ending up in the hands of real sickos, we wouldn't have to worry ever again about Iran or any other nation. Islamic fundamentalist sickos in control of Pakistan's nuclear weapons? Not a good situation. Just to get Osama and company? No. It can't be done without losing the relative stability the current Pakistan government offers us as an ally, albeit not a very useful one, yeah, but at least an ally.
Maybe international treaty be throw out, tell Musharraf, okay, you can do above ground nuclear testing, but you've got to do it in that region. You know, just try to poison the whole atmosphere and give them all cancer. They'll die from it in the next 15 years.
You are unbelievably
sick?
Stupid sometimes.
It's not sickening.
I'm sick, you're stupid with
no,
that.
No, I'm sick.
The only other possibility here is, I said, you know, we either do what we're doing now, nothing, pretty much. You know, the Department of Let's Go Get Osama or whatever was named, that was dismantled a year and a half or so ago. We're obviously not seriously concerned anymore. The only other thing we could do is decide, hey, this is worth it again, particularly as the election approaches. You would think maybe Republicans would want to do it, but then again, why? Bush can't come back for a second go round, so he doesn't care. See, that's the bottom line. Should we risk it all and engage in a military action that would constitute a real war on terror, unlike the non-war on terror that we're conducting now? a war in Pakistan could lead to consequences far worse than those posed by the relatively powerless Osama. You know, what threat does Osama offer against us now? All his people are holed up in that region. You've got a disseminated, fractured Al-Qaeda. Al-Qaeda in Pakistan, I don't think, is much of a threat to us. I mean, I just want to go get them, kill them for what they did. But they're not the problem anymore. The Al-Qaeda that's the problem now is, like, in places like Iraq. Because we let them go there. So what it comes down to is, what price do you want to pay? What price are we willing to pay to avenge 9/11 and seek out some true justice? Is there any price worth paying at this point? Should I do it? 718. Yeah, I know. And Brian will call again. Brian, try me back in about 6 months. No, I mean this because I'm sure he's out there. I want a prank. Try me in about 6 months when I'm a lot more calmed down, okay? If you would have been cool the first couple of times around, I'd still be cool with you now. But I do a slow burn, okay? That's it. Please.
You called three times last week asking, and I said no.
I know. And the bottom line is, you know, and if you can continue to call. If you continue to call at this point, your number will be turned over to the proper authorities for harassment, and you'll be dealt with legally. That's my bottom line. Okay? If, on the other hand, you want me to take a legal action against you via the phone company, I will gladly do that. If, on the other hand, you just go away and be nice for X number of months, then you'll find I'm a fairly pleasant and forgiving guy, and you'll be allowed back. But for now, please stand back and don't screw with the phones, because you're only harassing my producer. And you know what? That's going to piss me off, and you will indeed become persona non grata forever. Sorry to waste the remainder of my audience time with that, but some people just decide to become arrogant, pushy, and annoying, and then you just have to push them back from the table. Now, closing out on this issue for tonight. Bottom line time, you know how I like that.
Yeah.
What it comes down to is, are we willing to live with this knowledge that the people who are primarily responsible for the events of 9/11 are going to remain at large, are going to remain relatively alive and well, unless we are willing to risk the possibility of a far worse fate that could mean the death of possibly millions? I don't think it's worth acting now. Now, this is what surprises me. One thing that surprises me, that nobody bothered to call up and mention this possibility. Johnny, why don't we go in there now instead of waiting for the day when the fundamentalist terrorist wackos will have the nuclear weapons, because they're getting awfully close in Iran, aren't they? Why don't we strike first? That's right, preemptive strikes. Why not start with Pakistan? Who cares about Pakistan and Musharraf and all those greasy Islamic fundamental jerks? Do those people have a plan that's even worth considering? I think not. Then again, if the terrorists in Pakistan get their hands on those weapons, and we've allowed Osama to remain free, Osama's money or Osama's friends might end up helping them to use them against us. And that might make us even sorrier that we didn't go get him the first time. This is not an easily parsed issue. As much as I'd like your thoughts and opinions on this issue, as is invariably the case on the internet portion of the program, nobody likes to respond and call in, which either means that I've covered this issue so exhaustively that nobody else has anything to say, or that you totally agree with me, because there's no other reason for your lack of input. Therefore, at 11:09 Eastern Standard Time in New York City, yours truly, John Lightning, is about to wrap it up for this week's edition of the Extravaganza. But before we do that, final comments as per usual from my co-host, from my producer, Michael T. Jokeman, and of course the big guy, Big Steve Cole. Big Steve?
One thing, I don't know if you caught this, but someone who was great in radio, although he was known more primarily for television where he wasn't as great, Tom Snyder passed away last Sunday.
You know, it's remiss of me not to mention it, but so many things happen in the course of the week that I don't have time to get to with only 3 hours of airtime to spread about and to try and structure in such a manner so that we have the comedy, the fun, the music, and, you know, a little bit of everything. Tom Snyder, in actuality, when he was on the air, which seems like a billion years ago, or maybe 20 now, I enjoyed his work.
Yeah.
I enjoyed Tom Snyder. I thought he had a good intellect, a snappy wit, came up with key rejoinders, occasionally caustic ones. He was good at battling with whoever he had on his program. He was certainly not a lightweight. He asked interesting and tough questions, unlike a Larry King, and always had on interesting guests. I remember a couple of shows he did with the Grateful Dead and lots of other rock and rollers. He was really engaged with them. He really did his homework about the people he interviewed, unlike Larry King. He was very good at what he did, and when he went off the air, I was sad to see him go, and he was missed.
And, you know, a few years ago...
Did great radio, too, by the way.
Well, I'm saying the radio, he was supposedly better, although we never heard it. I never heard it.
I didn't hear much of it, but the little bit I heard, pretty darn good, but I didn't hear a lot.
But, you know, we were talking about it when he was doing the late-night show on CBS for a while before Craig Ferguson took it over. And actually, a couple of comedians were in there before that.
Right, yeah, that's right. A lot of people don't realize that that he was a radio man first and foremost.
Yeah.
So a tip of the Lightning Fedora to the late Tom Snyder. All right, Michael, any final words for you so I can get the heck out?
I just wanted to add that... On Saturday Night Live, Dan Aykroyd used to do him, and he loved it.
Yeah.
Yes, that's true.
My favorite, of course, was when he was doing Tom Snyder, and they had Mick Jagger on. That was absolutely hysterical.
What was it? I don't remember that one.
Oh, yeah, and Jagger made a couple of quips at him, like, "I always thought you were a bit thick." And then he asked him, "How do you get that wide variety of colors in your hair?" It was absolutely great.
Tom Snyder was easy to make fun of on many levels. And I could stay here again. Tom will be missed. You know, nobody's even thought of him for like decades now. Sadly, you know, I sometimes wonder just why he retired at the point he did.
Leukemia. That's what he died from, complication of leukemia.
All right, but he obviously hasn't had the leukemia hasn't been that debilitating for that long, has it?
I think so. That's he died from complications. So,
goodness!
From that, and he was 72. So you got to realize he hit 65, and he saw his health not good. He probably said, "I'm going."
And who can blame him? Believe me, if I was doing this and my health deteriorated to the point at which I just wanted to have fun, there are things to life and part of life that are a lot more fun than this. I just and they don't all involve the club lash. They don't all involve getting too drunk down at a dive like Tricks Brooklyn's
Premier
Singles Bar. No, they do not involve all that. Sometimes it's just something as simple as, like I say, getting together with family and friends, a good meal, sitting and down and watching a TV show or a movie you like, going out for a nice bike ride, just basic fun things one can do in life that have nothing to do with radio. And sometimes I think I want to have nothing to do with radio. And hey, based on the level at which our audience interacts with us, could you blame me? Thank you all again, folks, and bye-bye.
Radio New York International.
Where the inmen swing. It's a happening on
Radio New York International.